You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Community Radio. Welcome to this edition of Ecotones. I'm Joy LeClaire. Gallatin Valley Beyond Plastics is holding an event for the community on the 16th of July to strengthen awareness of the plastic pollution crisis and to help citizens to see through what they call the plastic production recycling ruse. As it stands now, the plastic manufacturers want the public to shoulder the guilt for this crisis. Their mantra is, keep recycling your plastics, when actually less than 9% of the plastics we do try to recycle actually gets recycled. Instead, plastic goes into our landfills, waiting 1,000 years and more to decompose, with escapees turning up in lakes, rivers, and oceans, and then into the bellies of marine life. It's even now found in newborn human babies. They ask, can't we do better? So, Beyond Plastics is inviting the Gallatin Valley community to begin accumulating and saving all the non-recyclable plastic they carry into their homes, items such as clamshells, those hinged plastic containers for berries and lettuce, any plastic containers no longer usable, soft, single-use plastic bags, garment bags, and all plastics with numbers other than 1 and 2. They hope that on Saturday, the 16th of July, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., folks will bring them to the parking lot of the Bozeman Public Library, where they will have a dumpster for ceremoniously depositing the plastic, which will be added to the already mountains of trash in our finite landfill. This will also be an opportunity to speak with members of the Beyond Plastics team and learn more about the unnecessary proliferation of single-use plastics and what the community can do about it. We spoke with one of the Gallatin Valley Beyond Plastics organizers, Terry Quintaro, about the problems and their efforts on July 7th, 2022. Welcome to Ecotones, Terry Quintaro. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to educate and promote a very important event.
Well, Terry, you are part of a group who is addressing the problem of unrecyclable plastics, overburdening our landfills and our biosphere. But before we get to the specifics of the problem and how you and your fellow organizers are responding, tell us a little about yourself. Where did you grow up and what did your folks do?
Well, that's an interesting question. I grew up in California. My parents were regular middle class. My dad was a manager of a paint store, originally Sherwin Williams. And my mom worked when we attended school, help with finances. She worked basically at a retail sewing store. And I grew up at a time in the late 40s and 50s and 60s in a very conservative area. Growing up, I didn't realize how isolated we were from really what was going on, especially racially. Our city, I found out later, was pretty much barring anyone of a dark ethnicity to live there. So it was an interesting time growing up. I was part of the activism of the 60s and 70s regarding the Haight-Ashbury in the 60s. I witnessed firsthand some of that, although I was still just out of high school. Also in the 70s in Stockton, California, during the Watts riots, it was very volatile. And then, of course, the Vietnam War. And, you know, leading up to that, of course, Earth Day started in 1970, and I was a teacher. I taught school. I was, from the very beginning, I took courses through our local Pacific Gas and Electric Company in California that actually sponsored some sustainable measures, such as solar energy. And in my classroom, we actually constructed a solar oven and baked cupcakes. We were all about how to preserve energy. And I did speak to my fourth graders who were 10 years old in the 1980s, how I wish someday that one of them would be very involved in solar energy and helping out. I haven't yet heard back from any of those fourth graders, so I don't know if they followed through on that. But I was very much interested also in the pollution, and growing up with my parents, it was a few years after the Depression, we were very conscious of not wasting anything. So that kind of ingrained in me the idea not to be wasteful. And as a teacher, I saw a lot of waste, mostly paper waste. So I organized at my school a recycling for paper. We got the school to set up special bins. It was brand new at that time. Again, it was in the 80s. And so I was always involved in that. We moved to Montana in 1994, and I immediately got involved with the beautification board here at the city, at Bozeman City, and I was a chairperson of the Bozeman Beautification Advisory Board for over 20 years, and in that, we worked a lot with Cleanup Day. That was our primary responsibility, and also presenting awards to businesses, mainly on the aesthetics of the outdoor landscaping, but the cleanup day actually focused quite a bit on trying to reduce waste, reduce litter. And over the 20 years of picking up litter, I realized what was most prevalent in that litter, and it led to the fact of plastic bags. And of course, they fly on all the barbed wire fences from here to Manhattan, especially. And it just has become a mini obsession of mine to eliminate those wasteful single-use plastic bags. And so I embarked on an adventure and thought out ways to eliminate single-use plastic bags and found this boomerang bags from Australia. It was originated in Australia, and it was just a local grassroots group of women who started a free bag giveaway, cloth bags or reusable bags. And they'd set up stands in different stores that customers could come in. And if they forgot their own cloth or reusable bag, shopping bag, they could just take one off the rack for free. And the idea was to then, after they used it, to clean it and return it on the rack. And so I started a cloth bag sewing adventure with a group of women that I have access to. They're the Bozeman Women's Activity Group. And I have an email list of over 100. So I first challenged them to help out, and they've been very supportive. We started Earth Day in 2020, which actually never happened because of COVID. But we did start a program to raise money selling these cloth bags and making free ones to hang on these boomerang stands. And the proceeds from that went to the Bozeman High School Solar Club. So we were getting more bang for our buck, should we say. We were raising money for a sustainable project at the same time, hoping to promote the use of reusable cloth bags. And that group and I have sewn over 500 cloth bags, and they were being sold in different stores for $10 to $12 a piece. So we made well over $6,000 to contribute to the solar club at the high school. And so then we stepped a little further into that, and I was approached by Hope Lutheran Church's creative care team, and they had a group connected to their creative care team that was definitely focusing on the same thing, getting rid of single-use plastics. And so we started a grassroots group with their help and brought in retailers, primarily grocery stores, because that's where the preponderance of plastic bags are used, and town and country stores and Joe's Parkway and a few others really helped support that. And Town and Country has been involved with selling the cloth bags and the boomerang bag stands. and through Valley of the Flowers, which is a nonprofit organization started by Wren Killian here. She helps supply these stores, not only with our homemade cloth bags, but with hemp bags that she purchases. So the whole idea ultimately is to become a zero waste community, and hopefully globally, but of course we're starting small with a grassroots. But the grassroots organization through the Creative Care team became the Plastic Pollution Reduction Coalition. And again, we were searching out retailers, a different group, Republic Services came on board. The Logan Landfill had a representative. Echo Montana, that sells compostable paper products, came on board for a time. Salal Huber McGee from Friends of the Farmers Market also is on board. As I said, Valley of the Flowers. Another program through that was, it's called BYOB, but it's being Bring Your Own Bag for a Change. And many stores, if people brought a cloth reusable bag, would give them a discount, like 5 cents off their groceries or whatever their purchases were. And that money would then go to a nonprofit. And Valley of the Flowers has been working real hard on that for the last several years. And stores are on board locally with that as well. And then we became aware of a national group called Beyond Plastics. And a couple of us on the Plastic Pollution Reduction Coalition group attended via Zoom 2-hour sessions to find out more about Beyond Plastics. And we decided to merge with that national group to get, again, more recognition and broaden our effect on the public. And that Beyond Plastics merger is just in the making right now. We are having a meeting on July 13th from a representative from that national group. Her name is Megan Wolf, and she resides in Vermont, but she's coming out here to speak to us and get us more information. The Beyond Plastics bases their program on a nonviolent, nonpartisan group, and it has 3 components: communication, organization, and educational outreach. They have many toolkits to help us promote this reduction of plastic waste. Also, in this whole journey, we have reviewed the research on plastic, single-use plastics, and found out how abhorrent the long-term effects are. And we're also coming to the realization that recycling plastic is not an answer to the insidious plastic problem, because plastics, their chemical makeup, and this is all plastics, but especially single-use plastics, the chemical makeup of them is so loose that what happens is when they are dumped in landfills, which actually is happening to 91% of all plastic made, and it then seeps into waterways, and a lot of course, oceans are impacted because of the dumping of waste into the oceans. And so the breakdown of this plastic residue from all kinds of plastic has become what they call nurdles. And it's kind of a translucent sludge that the fish are eating in our streams. The trout here locally in Gallatin area have been found to have this plastic residue in them. So we eat the fish. Animals are eating plastic. People aren't aware that even domestic animals, or certainly wild animals, they mistake some of these objects that are plastic as food and ingest it, and it binds into their system and eventually kills them. But it also, before it kills them, if we are going to use that meat to eat, it's in their systems. So what research has now shown us is this plastic residue, these nurdles, are getting into our bodies, and they get into our bloodstream, and they're causing havoc with some people in their endocrine systems because it lasts forever. Plastic is wonderful when it first came out for that very reason, but it lasts for thousands of years. So there's no way to get rid of it. And it's certainly not a healthy, nutritious ingredient to be putting in our bodies, but nevertheless, it's there. And so it's going to last until we are gone and even afterward because it goes into the soil. And the studies have also shown that newborn babies have plastics in their systems from their mothers, and that has been proven. So it's a crisis. And as we know, it adds to our climate crisis, which I think people are finally turning their heads towards realization that it's not a made up phenomenon, that it's actually real. It's having an effect, not only the plastic nurdles, but of course, the heat indexes and the climate variations are being caused by this production. So from Earth Day in 1970 to now is over 50 years, and we're still struggling with this. It's high time, I think, that we help educate the public and turn their heads towards looking at facts and realizing what's happening. And so this is what this grassroots group is trying to do. And the event that we're starting, which is patterned after one from the Beyond Plastics, is called Take Back in July. And what it is in Beyond Plastics' mind is that folks take their plastics, like these plastic lidded containers that usually contain things like our fruit, our strawberries, and our blueberries. They're called clamshells because of the fact they're hinged, and take those back to the stores they gotten them from and let the stores deal with the waste. And that is what is supposed to help them realize that it's not the consumers. I mean, it is our problem. It has resulted in a problem. But the consumers have very little control over how it's produced. And so what we're trying to do is go to the producers of these plastic containers and make them realize that they have to change their ways, that they have to come up with a better container of their produce. Or for Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola, who are the number one polluters because of the plastic bottles that contain their soda and other products that are related. They have all kinds of subsidiaries. We need to make them realize that they need to change. There was a wonderful movie produced, a film produced, The Story of Plastic, and it actually was produced by an MSU student. It brings home that the actual problem. And a bathtub was used as an example, and it was very visual to me, because when you turn the faucet on a bathtub, what's coming out of the faucet, if you plug up the hole, which that means, you know, it contains, like in the earth, you plug up the stopper, so it's not going down the drain, it is overflowing. And so we are taking a cup or two of that water that's overflowing, that's coming out of that faucet, and the rest of it is being wasted. And that's the production of plastic, is that faucet that's still running full blast. And right now, it's even more in production because of the whole COVID scare and our reliance on fossil fuels and the companies and corporations that promote that. There's tremendous pushback. They're the ones that talked about recycling. Exxon, who was talking, they're a great oil producer, talking about how we can recycle and so on. They're being sued right now because the information they were giving about recycling was false. So our consumers are stuck with this idea that, okay, we don't have a choice to buy our strawberries. We have to get this plastic container. This plastic container is not being recycled. Yes, some bottles are being recycled, and yes, some plastic bags are being recycled, but less than 9% of all of the plastic that's being recycled is actually being recycled. So it's ludicrous to think no one's churning off that faucet that's filling up that bathtub that is now overflowing and creating a flood of plastic waste, other than taking a cup every now and then. But that cup that's been recycled, where does it go? it still goes to the landfill once it's recycled a second time. So maybe plastic bags turn into more plastic bags. Well, that can only be done one time because of the chemical makeup of plastic. You can only recycle it one cycle. So it's still in our landfills. It's still in our streams and oceans and now in our bodies and our children's bodies. And it's not helping our health by any means. So the event that we're trying to host is on Saturday, July 16th, and it's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's in the parking lot behind the Bozeman Public Library. We're asking the public to bring their plastic, recyclable or non-recyclable. Right now in Gallatin Valley, very little can be recycled because we don't have the capacity to sort it. We don't have the capacity to deal with it. So all of this recycled product that is actually taken to Four Corners Recycle, which is now We Recycle, is shipped. And it's shipped to various places depending on the market. So it's either Seattle or Utah, and then it's sorted, and then it's sent again to another. So the process of using the gas to send it is also creating emissions. And so this event is to bring your plastic. We want people to see visually how a huge, humongous heap of horrendous plastic is getting into our landfills and eventually into our streams. So it's trying to be showing people visually, this is what it accumulates, and it's going nowhere but the dump and or into eventually into our bodies. So we also want to highlight alternatives to plastic use. And so at that event on July 16th from 10 to 4 behind the Bozeman Public Library in the parking lot, we will have a dumpster that will dump eventually all this plastic we accumulate, and it'll be sent to the landfill. But we're also trying to promote businesses that are currently using alternatives to plastic. The co-op just came out with a strawberry basket that's made out of cardboard. Town and Country sells laundry products that don't come in big plastic jugs full of water. They're similar to the sheets that those small rectangular sheets we put in our dryers, but they're thicker, and we put them into our washing machine to wash a load. And it is just a small sheet, a thick sheet of laundry detergent that's been pressed and immediately dissolves once you put it into the washing machine. And it comes in a simple small bag and without the use of plastic. So there are other groups in Bozeman. Buff City is trying with their soap products. They have a powdered laundry detergent, and they will refill the containers. When you buy a container of their product, whether it's a lotion or cream or a body wash or laundry detergent, you can bring that container back and they will refill it as opposed to promoting another container. Also, Sarah Sloan locally has what's called Refillery, and she will do the very same thing. She has different liquid products that you bring your own container, and she fills it up, weighs it, and charges you for what is in the container and not the container itself. So we're hoping to showcase those people that are working towards zero waste. We also are trying to start a program with to-go containers that when you go to a restaurant for a to-go meal, that you're not handed a styrofoam container. Styrofoam is one of the worst types of plastic because it just immediately dissolves into those small pieces once it hits the element. It's very not healthy for our environment. So we're trying to get a sustainable container that can be reused. And we're working on a pilot project right now, trying to get that with the local. It is happening in some other communities and states, so we're trying to get that going. Another way to reduce waste, we're working on milk cartons that are distributed in the schools. not only milk cartons, but we're trying to get the schools to go back to silverware, actual metal forks and spoons, as opposed to plastic. And with the milk cartons, the waste that is being created from throwing away these individual milk cartons for the thousands of students throughout the Bozeman School District and our county schools, have them convert to milk machines where not only will the milk be completely drank by the students and not wasted as much, it will eliminate the milk carton waste that is daily occurring during school times. As a teacher, now I'm substitute teaching in my retirement years, and I see students get a little individual milk carton, and either they'll take a sip or two, they're too anxious to go out and play, so the rest of the milk is wasted, or if they want more milk, they have to buy another container. And it's been proven through this study that the amount of waste is drastically reduced, which of course will help drastically reduce costs and also waste. We need to be looking at what we're throwing away. As we populate this earth with people, we are multiplying the amount of waste by the number of people that are existing here. If we continue to use products that are single use and or several uses, but again, end up in our landfills with little promise of dissolving or adding to the healthy soil. So there are compostable groups. And again, even the city of Bozeman is looking toward helping to promote composting food waste, which will help the nutrient capacity of our soil. A Happy Trash Can is involved in that. There's other groups, compostable groups. They're establishing a transfer station here in Bozeman that you can throw away your compostable waste that this Happy Trash Can will take and turn it into healthy, nutrient-rich soil. The Logan Landfill is also looking at the possibility of having a compostable receptacle there so that we can sort through our own garbage and try and make it a zero waste or a closed loop so that we aren't piling up very toxic and harmful chemicals in our soils that eventually, like I said, leach out and end up in our bodies. So I, again, appreciate this opportunity to share this information. Another purpose of July 16th is to help educate the public and make them aware of what's going on. And a lot of people I talk to who are very educated and very aware are still not fully knowledgeable because, of course, not all of us can take the time to go into the research and become aware of what's happening. And it's a problem we can solve. We have enough technology and we have enough people who are concerned about it. We just have to work to convince the manufacturers of these products that what they're doing is not helpful to our communities.
Terry Quattraro, you keep saying we are doing this. Who is we?
Good question. Basically, the grassroots group and the more people I talk to about this, and there are people who are very much more knowledgeable than I am, and I appreciate that. And they help to educate me as well on the consequences. So when I say we, I'm talking about my friends and acquaintances that are on board with trying to, and they're far better at it than I am, and they've been doing it for a long time. Also, they have come from other communities where plastic bags are banned, communities that are making strides in more sustainable practices. I'm also speaking of the group from Hope Lutheran that we started, from the creative care team there and the Plastic Pollution Reduction Coalition that is now Beyond Plastics. We, as in retailers, the people at Town and Country who are helping to promote this, the staff there, the management there, Valley of the Flowers, Ren Killian, who's been working very hard on zero waste practices. She has a landscaping business. And she is promoting composting. Happy Trash Can has come on board fully. We are reaching out to Republic Services, who monitor our trash receptacles here in the county. The City of Bozeman Sanitation Department are working towards that. We've worked with them. Logan Landfill, we've worked with them. I am now on the board for the Gallatin County Solid Waste Board, so I'm becoming more aware of what is actually ending up at the landfills, and they're helping with their outreach program to support more compostable ideas and the reduced use of plastic that ends up in the landfills. So our landfills are filling up exponentially. Obviously, Gallatin Valley has grown, so we need to be cautious of filling up our landfills before we have no more room to grow. So that's who I mean by we. It's a small group, but it's growing, and the whole purpose of this event and others that we'll plan in the future is to encourage more people to become responsible and aware and help promote.
Is there a website or a central place that listeners who want to learn more and perhaps participate with the organizing efforts you've just described, how would they best go about doing that?
Since social media is out there in full force, there are many ways to do that. You can go to the City of Bozeman's website. Since I was involved with the city with the beautification, I've been trying to get the different groups, Natalie Meyer with the sustainability and now that it's called Sustainability Board, to put on their city website a link to find different sources for more information. We do have Plastic Pollution Reduction Coalition, or PPRC, that has a website. It will convert very soon to Beyond Plastics, our Gallatin Valley Beyond Plastics. But people can Google beyondplastics.org, and there's a wealth of information there. On Earth Day, Ann Reddy, who has worked tirelessly for the last few years on celebrating Earth Day in April, had many, many different films and talks and presentations revolving around these very issues. Plus, on Earth Day, there are opportunities to come down and see a display of different groups and different informational tables that will help promote that. But I would start with beyondplastics.org, and thank goodness for Google, I guess. You can Google sustainability issues. You can Google single-use plastic problem. There is a federal bill. It's been tabled a couple years in a row now, but it's called Break Free from Plastic. People can Google that site and find out what's involved in that bill. They're trying to make it illegal, I guess would be the word, to produce plastics that have a certain chemical in them, mainly the chemical involved in styrofoam and single-use plastics. There's been pushback from fossil fuel companies, so we have to be careful when we look for information, because their pushbacks are some things like, well, it can be recycled, and they tout how all their plastic bottles are being recycled and turned into fleece and other clothing products, not realizing that every time you wash that fleece, those nurdles come out into the water and then into your septic system, or again, float into our streams. Another pushback is with cloth bags. They tout these studies that show it takes more carbon emissions to make a cloth bag than it does to produce a plastic bag. But what they forget to help you realize is our carbon emissions, if we use sustainable practices such as solar and wind for our electricity to produce these things. But the cloth, especially cotton, which is what we're making these bags out of, does dissolve and compost, and it adds to the soil. It's a closed loop system, whereas plastic, even though it's cheaper to produce a plastic bag and maybe less carbon emissions in the short term, but in the long term, it is actually adding to carbon emissions because of the waste and the fact that it's clogging, literally clogging our streams and waterways. So that's what I would do. I'd have people search out and do the investigation and make up their minds. But I'm hoping that they will use the search on reliable sources that are telling them the research that has actually occurred and not some promotion to profit the pocketbooks of corporations.
It sounds like they can also come on July 16th, that's a Saturday, July 16th, to the Bozeman Public Library parking lot between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. with their accumulated plastic to contribute to your demonstration of how much is going to the landfills. And it sounds like that there will be information there as well.
That is true. Again, we're trying to help promote the different businesses that are doing what they can for the reduction of single-use plastics. And the more the public shops at these places or demands that the places they shop at do the same thing and offer the same kinds of alternatives to single-use plastic, then the more that message might get to the producers of the plastics. And that's that visual again of the faucet going into the bathtub, and turn that faucet to where it's a trickle and we can handle a trickle coming out of the faucet and not a full force that's flowing constantly and just polluting. So yes, I wholeheartedly hope to see a lot of folks on July 16th, and I wish they would ask lots of questions and be there to help us promote what can be done. It's a solvable issue. So many of our crises that are occurring nationally and globally seem so unstoppable or unsolvable, and they're all very, very important. But my main purpose in doing that is I can't just sit around and do nothing and watch all these things happen. I have to be active in trying to solve something. And this might be a way, and it's actually not that difficult if you practice it, and it's not that difficult to solve. That's my hope.
Terry Quattaro, thank you so much for joining us today on Ecotones and sharing your experience and knowledge with the problem of plastics pollutions, which has gone too far. If it's being transmitted between a mother and her baby in utero, that's too far. So
I agree. That's the last straw,
yeah,
so to speak. The last nurdle.
Yes. Okay, well, thanks a lot. You just heard Terry Quintaro, one of the organizers of the Gallatin Valley Beyond Plastics team. You can find out more by going to beyondplastics.org or bring your unrecyclable plastics to their collecting event on Saturday, July 16th between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. in the parking lot of the Bozeman Public Library. And they ask that you only bring plastics. An ecotone is a transition zone between two biomes. It's where two communities meet and integrate. This program, Ecotones, explores the variety and diversity of the greater Gallatin Valley community and beyond, offering the echoing tones as our communities influence and are influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries and celebrating diversity. Ecotones is a Beyond the Deep End production recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire in Bozeman, Montana, for broadcast on KGVM Bozeman and archiving at kgvm.org.